Just a quick note to say that we had some technical difficulties during this show, and it will end abruptly a couple of minutes before the actual end of the show.
Girl, love the mess. I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big time.
This is WOZO Radio, Low Power FM, 103.9 live in Knoxville, Tennessee. Welcome to the Free Thought Radio Hour. This is Dot 5 with the Wombat.
The Wombat!
Welcome to the show. This is an atheist show, and we'll be talking about atheism, free thought, humanism, rational thought, and science. Conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. Despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are a lot of atheist songs, and you'll hear some of them right here on this program and on this station. We'll also talk about the atheist and rationalist groups that reside here in Knoxville and how you can connect with them. Did you know that there was also an atheist television show broadcasting here in Knoxville and has been for 6 years?
Why do we keep forgetting that?
Yeah, that's right, and we'll be talking about that too. Cool. Today we're going to be talking about identity.
Yes.
And
what are we going to be talking about? Who are we going to be talking about? Identities.
Okay. Well, the few things that I noted down are labels, the purpose of labels.
Yeah.
To be like others, part of a group. To validate existence, we're all social creatures.
Sure.
Not good to be alone.
These are all very valuable things.
These are all things that Ty discussed with me before we opened the show.
Yeah.
He brought the topic, so I'm going to turn it over to Ty. Where do you want to go with this?
Okay, so I have a friend. I call her Hash Browns or Hash Me Browns. The conversation that we have between the two of us is essentially what's the value of labels, or at least what we use to identify ourselves, and how do we go about that? So what you would have is one guy who calls himself, I don't know, we can say, hey, I'm X, I'm black, I'm tall, I'm this or I'm that. You can say you're Muslim, you can say you're Christian. But really what you're saying, or at least from my perspective, isn't that you're saying you're just like everybody else who has that exact same label. You're not saying like, oh, I'm a Christian, so I'm therefore just like every other Christian out there. Most people tend to think they're a special flower or a special snowflake, and that's totally fine.
Uh-huh. You're unique, just like everybody else.
Everyone's unique, like everybody else. But that in its own right is like a label. But the reason why I think people use labels is because they're trying to feel secure with themselves by knowing that they belong to a group.
Right.
And I think there's a value to that. I don't think it's anything that needs to be played off, you know, in a small way. Yeah. But then the question comes, okay, so if you're just using the label to feel some of the things we said, valid existence, for social, to fulfill yourself socially, to feel like you're part of a group, make sure any mistakes you make as yourself, you know, if other people have made with you along that same path, that's all good. But if you're ultimately doing it just for, you know, those feelings of belonging, then does the label itself or anything else that comes with that label matter aside from just the sense of security?
I always think of it as a kind of a social shortcut.
A social shortcut.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I say I'm a Christian, I don't have to say I was born into a family that worships Jesus Christ as the Savior of humanity, and I've been in this Baptist tradition ever since I was born, and we happen to believe that souls go blah, 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 you know, just on and on and on and on.
Okay.
It's a shorthand. But it tells an awful lot about you and about the group that you identify with.
Sure, but what if you would say you're a Christian, but you don't happen to believe that Jesus was hung on a cross but was instead hanged, for example?
Well, still, what you just said is a lot shorter because you started it off with that label.
And that's
good enough. You did the label and then accepted a few things.
So what the power behind that label is, I'll say a word, and then I know what that word means, and I'm hoping that you know what that word means, but even if what our meanings are different, we don't have to really delve into that because we're happy with the label that we're assumed to be the case.
Right. Or you can always start there and then discuss it and flesh out the nuances of the concept.
Nuances of the concept. Yeah. That tend to be a lot longer conversations.
Yeah.
But for the most part, labels are good. I don't mind them. And I think they're really useful. I think a lot of people are coming up with like some really cool new ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only issue that I'm seeing is they tend to be very broadly applied after a certain point that they lose their descriptive power.
Mm-hmm.
So then a question comes, what are the bad things about labels as we get to them? I think you run into a problem. And the problem is if your labels have clubs that have rules, that have, you know, like certain kinds of dogmas or principles behind them as well.
Like the Masons or something.
I don't know about this. What is this?
The Masons?
The Masons? Tell me about it. You're talking to a black California guy.
Well, you know, a Mason is a person who lays mortar and brick.
Okay, cool.
And this is a fraternity for Masons.
Oh, like skull and crossbones and stuff like
that?
Yeah,
but no, it's a very old organization. I believe George Washington was a Mason.
Okay.
So, but they have their secret handshakes and their little rituals, and you can actually go up in the rankings. Like, I don't have a friend, but I don't have a friend who's a Mason right now. That
wait,
I know of.
Wait a second. Did
but
you
he
say
could
there
be
was
like a 34 level Mason.
If it's a secret organization, how do you know that anybody else is a Mason? Even if you are a Mason?
No, it's not a big secret organization.
Oh.
It's an organization.
Oh,
it's a fraternal organization.
Oh, okay.
They have a big building downtown.
I think I've heard about these guys before now.
Yeah.
Okay, Freemasons then, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think they have... As one of their,
they have a Masonic lodge.
They have a Masonic lodge. They also have like one of their prescriptions or one of their prerequisites is you have to have a religious background or a god.
Yeah, it's got a G right in the middle of their symbol. And I've been told that it's God. If we have any Masons listening, the number here
send us a smoke signal
is 333-5937. In Knoxville, Tennessee, that's 865-333-5937. Be happy to take your call.
So what do you do if you're in a club that has bad rules, but you need that label because it has a fulfillment for you to socially
belong
with them?
You need it for your business enterprises.
You need it for your business enterprises,
let's say that you're in a very Christian town and you want to make business contacts, so you join the biggest church in town and call yourself a Christian in order to make contacts. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. Or what you mean, you can take the inverse of that. Like, say, what if you're a Muslim and you just started school and it's like, you know, 2003, right after September 11th attacks, and you just moved to a new high school, you're going to be terrified because you may not want to necessarily identify that. So maybe you like try to like disguise it a little bit or like, you know, play it off a little bit more and maybe like try to stay away from it. You may try to, you know, form a new identity for yourself, which means you would need new labels, even though in your heart you may really identify with them. You know, I mean, it can go either way.
Well, a label is pretty important to me, too. As an atheist, I feel that a lot of people don't like that label because of all the baggage that the religions have dumped on it over the centuries.
There is baggage on it,
Now, what does the word atheist actually mean?
It means you disagree with one question or you have a response to one question.
You just don't believe in God. That's it. I mean, there's no further dogma or tenets that you have to subscribe to. Like we talked about Buddhists before.
Yeah.
Buddhists don't believe that Buddha was a god, so they don't believe in God.
But so they are atheists.
They are atheists.
Yeah.
At the same time, they have a huge religion. They have an awful lot of, I don't even call it dogma, but they have a lot of rules
they
like to follow.
Yeah.
But you don't get sent to hell if you don't follow the rules. If you follow the rules in Buddhism, you just get a better world. That type of thing.
So would you say then that atheism is a label but not an identity?
It depends on how much you invest in that label, I would assume, for yourself.
So then there could... That's actually an interesting point. So I would imagine, so if someone said, hey, I'm a Christian and I identify with Christianity, I think there's enough meat behind that term or that word that you can definitely make an identity out of it. You can forge it out of it.
Right.
You can make a career out of it.
Yeah.
Hell.
Well, think about Madeline Murray O'Hare.
Okay, who's this?
She was the person who started the American Atheist.
Okay.
And the person who...
She wasn't the first American Atheist, though, right?
Yeah, she was.
What?
She founded the American Atheist.
Okay.
In the 60s. You know why prayer is not taught in school anymore? Why we don't have prayer in school?
Why, what's up?
Because Madeline Murray O'Hare took it to the courts and took it all the way through the Supreme Court. After she established American Atheists, but she established American Atheists along the way.
Oh, okay.
And got it repelled.
What?
That's why it's against the law to this date. And this is in the 60s that happened.
That's interesting.
She was not a pleasant woman. She made a lot of enemies.
She was not a cheap date.
But you just have to read about her. A very interesting story. I invite the audience to look her up on Google and find out more about Madeline Marie O'Hare. But she was one time called the most hated woman in America.
Oh, really? Yeah, because she's probably a really big target.
She thoroughly identified with the atheist.
Okay, label. So there is ways to identify with it profoundly. Mm-hmm. So labels.
Well, so did Ayn Rand, for that matter.
Yeah. Okay. So then I'm gonna have to take some things back. Then I guess atheism could be absolutely an identity. It's a weird identity though, because it's not really. Like, again, it's just, I don't believe in God.
One answer to one question. Do you believe in God? No. You're an atheist.
Yeah.
Or even, I don't know. Now, I don't know. We talk about this many times.
Oh, sure.
People say, if you say, I don't know, to the question of God, that means you're an agnostic. And that is true. I don't know. No, meaning the opposite,
right.
the operative word, knowledge. Mm. But they're not talking about belief when they say, I'm an agnostic.
Sure.
They're talking about knowledge.
Mm.
When you talk about belief in God, then you're talking about theism, atheism.
Sure.
So if I say, I believe in God, I'm a theist.
Okay.
If I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist. And I also don't know if there are any gods out there, then I'm an agnostic atheist.
So there are different levels to answer two different questions, essentially.
Yeah. And they're not mutually exclusive, Gnosticism and theism.
So then I guess here's another point. What if you have a label that makes you starve yourself? Or, like, makes you cause harm. Not necessarily harm. How about this? Right now, it's Ramadan. It's been Ramadan for, like, the last month or so. And it's a great, or if you celebrate it, it's a very interesting holiday. I think there's some things about it that I absolutely do respect, and I like it a lot. But there are parts about it that make me worry a little bit. One of them is there's a fasting principle where if the sun rises, you don't eat until the sun sets. And you have two meals generally a day, one before the sun rises and after it sets.
Yeah.
That way you can time like
midnight the best snack if you want it.
Midnight snack if you want. And then you try to sleep as much as you can after the sahur, which is your first meal. Mm-hmm. And then sufur is when you have the last meal when the sun comes down. So if you have medical problems, like say you have diabetes, you need to eat, right? So they have – there's leniency laws or there's leniency loopholes. Not necessarily loopholes, but like what's alternatives that you could do instead of fasting, which is essentially giving money to the poor. If you do that, you're totally good to go. I have a friend who has family members that just do that out of health concerns. But the act of fasting for that long a time generally probably isn't very good for you health-wise, like not eating while the sun's up, like 12 hours a day while you're awake, moving around. Your body does need fuel to a certain point. And it comes to a question of, so you have the label, you identify with it, and you're doing it because you believe in it. And I totally have no problem with that. I can see that. But if you're causing yourself personal harm in the process, is that worthwhile? Is that something that could be considered? What do you think about that?
Well, I agree. If you're causing yourself personal harm, then you need to second guess what you're doing and question it. Of course, I'm a skeptic. I heartily believe in questioning the things that authority figures tell you.
Mm.
Now, that's different from what experts tell you.
Sure.
An authority figure can't be questioned. An authority figure comes down and says, you have to do this. And that's in the sentence.
Okay.
An expert says you need to do this because if you don't do this, you know, you're going to cause yourself diabetes. You're going to ruin your kidneys. That type of thing. So I have a problem with the authority figures telling you something because they know what God wants.
So here's the thing. It's not – so at least particularly with Ramadan specifically, there are Muslim scholars or medicinal experts who practice Islam who would say, you know – from our position, it's not an authority of God said do it, so you do it. It's a these are the rules to be good with God, and we actually found some health benefits for fasting for a long duration of time. It can actually be beneficial to you.
Well,
and I would love to see those reports.
As a skeptic, I would say fine, accept the rules if you want to, but while you're doing them, validate it and verify it and find out why those rules are there. Now, if they say, we're not telling you this because God told us to do it, we're doing it because it's good for you. Right. And then you find out it's not good for you.
What do you do then?
What do you do? What I do is quit.
You modify your label?
I modify my behavior to do what is good
for you. So it's an interesting thing because there are Muslims all over the world. Mm-hmm. They're not just in, places where the sun sets and sun rises. Mm-hmm. There's places on earth where the sun stays up for like months at a time. Right. In fact, there's about 700 Muslims right now that are near the Arctic Circle. Mm-hmm. I think they're there because of they're there for asylum, and it was an interesting topic because I just read a news article about them. And what happens is because the sun is up for such a long period of time, they have to decide part of them as a group whether they will eat during Mecca. Like Mecca times or like the Saudi Arabia time where the sun sets arises, or whether they'll follow Turkey, which is like the closest Muslim capital that's nearby them, where the sun rises and sets.
Yeah.
Some did that. Some just said, you know what? I'm going to pick my own times. And they're like, you can't do that. It's like, I'm totally going to do that. Well, so you have like this bifurcation in that small group.
It's one thing for one member of the religion to say, no, I know what the Bible and the organization really wants, and you're not doing it, you need to do it because you're part of our organization.
This, you're part of this label.
The rules apply to you. What kills me, and I can't believe I just said that, what gets me is that this week I heard about a bomb going off outside of a couple restaurants over in the Far East. I can't remember.
Sure.
Because it was a restaurant that was open during Ramadan during the daytime.
Oh.
So they didn't care if these people were part of the religion or not.
Mm.
They were eating during Ramadan and they blew the restaurant up.
Were they non-Muslims that were
eating? There had to be non-Muslims in there.
Okay. Okay. Jeez.
That's like,
I would imagine that there would be more angst or hatred against Muslims who are eating during Ramadan than non-Muslims are eating during Ramadan, because that's typically what always happens. I don't think. But yeah, it's a sad thing to say.
Well, think about it, a couple of Muslim guys walking down the street, and then they see a girl go by in a miniskirt.
Okay,
they have no right to tell her how to act.
Sure,
she's not a Muslim.
Sure,
but yet they do.
Not the Muslim batch, but like,
it's
say,
Christians with homosexual activities.
You don't even have to jump that far. You could just be a woman walking down the street and you would see like two guys with like Jesus crosses around their necks and be like, hey girl, take that or whatever. They'll catcall, whatever. You'll see that.
Right.
Atheists do the same thing too, most likely.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that there are some sexist atheists out there, but there are.
Of course there are.
Maybe there are prude atheists.
There are.
There is nowhere saying that atheisms agree on a dress code.
Exactly,
So
I think you'd have good Muslims, you'd have good Christians, you'd have good atheists.
Well, sure.
You have them on both sides. Yeah. Okay.
But atheists, when they're prude atheists, they're not pointing to a holy book and saying, you got to do what's in that book.
That's the
They have to own the position.
There's a kicker.
That they're coming from.
Right.
They have
to
identify that position and say, I'm that position.
When I'm, if I ever do that, when I'm being prude, it's because I'm a jerk. But when a Christian would say, hey, you're not supposed to wear that, they're doing that based on a superior authority figure.
Well,
that's
they say they are, but the thing about it is,
that ruin in black
she's
and white.
She might not be a Christian.
Right.
But they don't care.
Right. It's not coming from the person specifically.
Yeah. And we're getting a phone call. Let me move this mic around and open the line up.
I want to hear.
And welcome to Free Thought Forum Radio, or Free Thought Radio. May we have a name or a nickname?
Yeah, I'm
Mr.
Margo.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Well, I lost her. I tried
Sorry
to pick up
that.
The
Please
phone, but
back.
I kind of halfway dropped it and hung up on her.
Great.
There she
Thank
is.
You.
I couldn't hear you. There was some kind of murmuring going on
you
as far
hit the
as
speaker?
Electronic. Anyway.
If you want, maybe before. So, Doubtify is listening to the lady
Let
on
me
the phone
try
right
this
now.
One thing again. I'm going to put you on hold just for a second, okay? Oh, I'll tell you what. Just hit redial or something, please. I don't see a hold button. There it is. Okay, hold on. Yeah, hold on. Okay, let's try it again.
Hey.
All right. Hey.
Hey.
I'm a Buddha Baptist.
A what?
A Buddha Baptist. I would say that there are proofs in everything, whether it's Christianity,
Yeah, would you say it's more like, well, it's more like a human nature kind of thing, right?
Yeah, the point I was making was that, let's say I go down the street and I'm a prude and I tell some girl to cover up.
Hmm.
Well, she can look at me and say, why? And I'll say, because I don't like it.
You're like, you're a jerk.
I am owning what I'm saying. It's mine. You know, it's my position. And then she can say, well, screw you, I'm gone. But when you get the religions out there, they are actively pointing to a book and saying, this book says you need to cover up, even though you're not part of my religion.
Yeah.
And that...
It's, I'm just saying that there are people out there, you know, even people that claim Christianity, people that claim different religions, that still refuse to point and judge based on their religious beliefs because they might not hold those biases or, you know, beliefs to heart. I think there are a lot of people out there who aren't like that.
Oh, I agree. Some people say...
In other words, some people just judge because you're crude.
Well, some people say
it has nothing to do with the book.
Versions of Christianity as there are Christians. What would you say to that?
Ask the question again.
There are as many versions of Christianity as there are Christians. In other words, every single Christian has, or any religious person, carries around a different version of their own religion and how they practice it.
I would definitely agree to that because there's some Christians who believe in feeding other Christians poison Kool-Aid and killing everybody.
Right.
So, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely believe that there are definitely versions of our religions that people might not believe in.
Hey, you might have asked a question.
The sects of Islam that insist on suicide bombing that other people might not believe in.
You're talking to her through the phone.
You know, anybody who believes in, if I kill myself in battle, you know, I'm going to receive glory, like all the suicide bombers across a lot of different religions. I think that there's a lot of people within any division that, you know, can...
So, excuse me, ma'am.
With atheism, I think, and with atheism, and I will say this even though it's cliche, a lot of my good friends are atheists. And, you know, there are atheists that, you know, are really wonderful, beautiful, humanitarian people who don't judge people, including Christians. And then there are other atheists who are out on a crusade against, you know,
all religion.
Sure. Can I ask you a question?
It has to do with individual people.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, cool. May I ask you a question then? If you had it like...
I didn't inhale, all I did it was in college, and I didn't like it.
What?
What?
I said I didn't inhale, only did it once in college, and I didn't like it.
Oh, cool. So you had mentioned before that sometimes there's things in the Bible that people will choose not to follow in the benefit or the best interest to treat people like... not jerks, right?
I would say, yeah, that's true.
Would you say they're accurately portraying...
Even Christians that look at the Bible as it's a book that was, you know, maybe blessed or whatever, but it was still written by man.
Sure, but would you say then that they're accurately following the instructions that's in that book?
Well, that's what I'm saying. How can you accurately follow instructions written, you know, that's whatever sanctioned, but it's still written by man? And two, it was translated many times over. And the most recent version that a lot of people follow is the King James Version, which then took the book and completely rewrote it.
So you'd say that the book then right now... So you say the book we have right now is just not accurate at all?
I say the book that we have right now is a wonderful text that's filled with beautiful, beautiful, beautiful historical accounts.
Like Deuteronomy 24,
and wonderful stories.
And gorgeous stories that will be... similar to the quotes from Gandhi and, you know, a lot of other people that are beautiful things that we can follow.
What would you say? So, okay, that's cool. But
like Homer and the Odyssey.
Like I said, I'm that type of person who can't go to most churches because of my beliefs and what I believe in, you know, God and the Holy Text and all the other things.
But you are aware that there are things in the Bible that are not all flowery and beautiful and makes you feel good. There are things in the Bible that, for example, like condone slavery or give advice for how to, you know, punish a woman that got raped or, and so on.
It's all ugly.
Sure.
You would think that she would have already been punished.
Is, been written by man is how things are warped.
Okay.
And unfortunately, you know, there are a lot of things that were, I do believe, historically were omitted. And I think that there are things historically that were turned and changed. I love the story of the two sisters. I think it's Leah and Rachel. And one of my most favorite accounts of that is from a fictional account of it by a Jewish author called The Red Tenet, who completely takes that story of rape and turns it into a story of love. It makes people question,
it's very interesting,
you know, the whole story that was in the text.
Right.
So I just think that a lot of times we take ourselves too seriously and we forget, you know, what are we all here for? And I think we're all here for peace and love.
Yeah. All you really need is human empathy and compassion. That'll take you 90% of the way down the road toward good morals.
So it sounds like then you can take the Bible, you can read it, but then apply your own interpretation on top of it that favors peace, and then go with that interpretation rather than the book itself.
Well, if you're going to do that, why do you need to take what's in the Bible in the first place?
I would say that's the case. Why do you need the Bible at all?
Yeah.
I think that there are people out there that are just looking for guidance.
Cool. Someone should write a better book.
Fine, but the Farmer's Almanac doesn't have an edict to kill the other.
Homosexuals. Or
homosexuals or women who are not virgins on their wedding night.
I think you should write a better book.
But I'm just using that as an example.
Cool.
Yeah, the Farmer's Almanac doesn't have an edict against killing weeds or killing the pests that might ruin your garden or kill off different plants. But I think that people do look for certain things, you know, for guidance that might not have any explanation.
Yeah.
Or astrologers looked up to the stars to, you know, figure out, you know, guidance. And yes, you can be navigated by the stars, but I think that people look to different things because people are always looking for something outside of themselves to help define themselves.
So if I look in the Bible and I find verses that you wouldn't agree with, but I follow them accurately, what do we do then?
I think that's the next verse.
Oh, what would we do then?
What do you mean?
Oh,
go to the next verse.
We would go to the next verse? What if I wanted to stay on that verse?
Yeah. If you want to stay on that verse, let me tell you, I don't know your name, I know Larry, I don't know Gilly, but stick on that verse as long as you want to. Just stay on it. Stay on it as long as you want to, and whatever grows as an individual person, whether you're atheist, Buddhist, Muslim, Christian, agnostic, you'll never grow.
Oh, well, that hurts my feelings. So what if I wanted to just stay on that verse, and what if that found that verse meaningful and I could use it to grow and stuff? It just seems more of an arbitrary... Well, it's still one book, right? Like, why do you grow if it's just one book, right? Sure, one verse. Yeah, if I find one verse. Huh? Okay.
Usually what I got to put up with all the time.
It's an interesting idea. So...
Yeah, but
the whole
if they were
that I have with religion, yes, it is organized, and you can organize people around a certain
belief. Yeah, but then without the religion, they'd at least have to own what they're saying themselves. They'd have to say it's because I like it that way, not because of some God whispered in my ear.
Yeah, it's all really useful. But how do you get to the truth with any of that?
To the truth of that.
I mean, how do you get to anything that's accurate or useful if everyone's following what they want to in their own personal interpretation of the book?
Or a different book.
Or a different verse. And if they get upset, they go to a different verse. Or if they stay on the verse. Or if they find something else that makes them feel better.
You have, like you and I can walk down the street.
Okay.
Together.
Yep.
Together, even if we were the same height, and I automatically assume we're not the same race, religion, or age.
Okay.
But even with those differences, we could walk down the same street. And because of our differences, each one of us would see something different. So I think with each individual, there's an individual truth.
Individual truth. That's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Now, it's not an individual concept. You talk about truth and you talk about realism.
Oh.
Each individual translates things individually. So it's not a...
Well, you're talking about subjective
interpretations. Subjective
interpretations. And that's where...
But who's to say my truth isn't the same? So if we're walking down the street and I say, oh my gosh, what a beautiful building. And you say, oh my gosh, look at all this trash. You're looking down, you're looking at the street and the trash. I'm looking up and looking at the building.
Would you say that it's impossible for anyone to be wrong?
Well, of course.
No.
People can be...
Go ahead.
Well, you just...
It's okay.
Oh, no, don't do that. No. What I'm saying is there's objective truths and there's subjective truths. I mean, there's no reason why... Let's say I like chocolate cake.
Yep.
And another person says, no, they're awful. I don't like that taste. Well, that may be because they're from, sub-Saharan Africa or... the Congo or something where they never developed their taste for that. However, that doesn't mean either one of them is wrong. However,
you want to finish your point?
However, there are objective truths like the speed of light, the composition of certain materials. Those are things that can be verified and they should be verified. Well,
no, actually, no. Actually, if you go to the North Pole, it stays up in the sun for a long period of time. And
right.
Well, that's another. That's just
that's
another model
objective
of how to see
truth. And the where it comes up and down is a subjective truth.
Yeah.
You guys, I've enjoyed the banter. I was listening to you guys earlier, and I just wanted the banter back.
Well, feel free to call in anytime. Thank you so much
for
calling in.
Oh, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Cool.
Take care.
All right, have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a little past our station identification time. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 live FM low power in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can listen to us online at WOZO Radio, WOZOradio.com, excuse me. Now I'd like to talk just a little bit, just a few minutes. I guess I can go ahead and just run the message that we have for ASK and RET. In the meantime, it'll also play a song by Shelley Segal. It's about biblical misogyny.
Ooh.
Called Eve. And here we go.
Okay. Good. Lights are off.
Let me get this.
So those are around the Knoxville area and are questioning your religious beliefs or simply believe in one less God than everyone else, well, you're not alone. The Atheist Society of Knoxville is a fun and friendly group of people just like you that meets twice a week at a bar or restaurant. We meet every Tuesday night following the show at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria for happy hour. You can find our group either inside or on the patio. Look for Richard Dawkins' silver jacketed book, The God Delusion, standing upright on the table. But if you plan to preach, prophetize, provoke or punch, please don't. We all question what we believe at one point in our lives. If this is the time for you, come join us for food, drink, conversation, and fun.
The Bible tells me I was made for and from man. I must do for him everything that I can. I must surrender to his will, yeah. I must submit. I can't make the household decisions, cause I am unfit. It tells me my place with everlasting grace. Bible tells me I must be silent, you can't hear my voice. My role has been divinely defined, and I have no other choice. I may not be a teacher of men, I must cover up my shame. These are the laws of the one who in vain I cannot name. He tells me my place. Touch me, and it has nothing to do with where I've been. It is part of who I am. It is because I corrupt men. I was asking for it just by being a woman. He tells me my place. surrender to his will, yeah, I must submit. I can't make the household decisions, cause I am unfit. It tells me my place with everlasting grace.
Talking snakes laughable? Do you prefer the scientific method over supernatural beliefs? Are you concerned about religious leaders and organizations imposing their values and rules on your body, your family, and the rest of our society? Well, take comfort in the fact that you're not alone. The Rationalists of East Tennessee meets weekly for fellowship and provides a forum for people who support skeptical thinking and rational discussion of these and other issues. To find out more information or to find out about our next meeting, visit us on the web at www.rationalist.org.
And we're back. Welcome to Free Thought Forum Radio, 103.9 FM, live, low power in Knoxville, Tennessee. First of all, happy 4th of July. I know it's a little early. Remember that most of the founding parties were not... Thank you, Christian. They mostly believed in the deist God, that is one that created the universe, but didn't interact with us. And... we're back, so
yeah.
What are we into now?
I want to talk about glycine. In space. What's glycine?
Mm-hmm.
Glycine is amino acid, right? So amino acids are building blocks for life as we know it right now. One of the key products along with, or one of the key members along with DNA that helps to make us what we are. What's interesting is, I think last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, we were having a conversation about how scientists had discovered amino acids in space, and I didn't believe that. I was like, that's crazy. Yeah. There's no way that's true. I'm going to have to go back home and look this up myself. Well, I did. Turns out the story behind it is that there are these clouds in space, or generally very spread out areas of debris that exist in space, and in them are some organic molecules, and they are capable of binding together in certain kinds of different arrays and different patterns.
Yeah, it's pure chemistry.
It's pure chemistry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what's really cool is that some of those molecules are in fact glycine, and there's large swaths of them, or large batches of them, bigger than like say the diameter of like the sun, just spread out through space. And it's an interesting thing because as far as we realize, we'd only had, you know, those building blocks of life on Earth. We'd never seen them in any other place in the world. And that's the whole reason why we had spent so many probes into...
We found them on Earth, but no other place on Earth.
Oh, we found them on Earth, but we now found them another place in space.
In space, yeah.
And what's cool is that now that we have these, you know, the spectroscopic, you know, identity...
Analysis of stars and clouds
in
space, yeah.
That have these amino acids in them, it brings up a lot of questions of like, okay, so this kind of changes the paradigm of like how we may think life may have started from... essentially like just chemicals to essentially where we have simple life forms that we would recognize today.
Right.
A cool thing. I like this cool story. All the Earth water, or all the water on Earth, came from comets. So when Earth was formed, it was too hot to make its own oceans.
And any comet that landed during that period would just evaporate.
Exactly, because we didn't have an atmosphere to contain all that water. Mm-hmm. But after a point when Earth cooled, say about less than like 3 billion years ago, we had bombardments from spatial, you know, bodies. A lot of those were comets, and comets have a lot of ice on them. Those are our oceans today. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same kind of water that we would get from a comet.
Right.
It's really interesting. Comets fly through space.
Yep.
Comets can also fly through those glycine clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a little bit of those amino acids, drop them off on Earth, float to the bottom of the ocean where there's a lot of pressure, keeps the, there's a particular, so the attributes of a molecule differ based on what kind of like surroundings it is, the pressure and temperature. If you have like a, say a geothermal crack where there's a lot of heat coming out, a lot of pressure on top of that, that's a good condition for pressure chemistry to occur. Some weird things can happen.
Well, not only that, there are other planets that we've discovered in our solar system. Or not planets, moons.
Oh.
Like a moon of
Titan?
Titan, right. There was one that's like solid ice. Well, it's covered in ice.
Right.
But it has liquid oceans underneath
yes.
it.
Yes, yes. Europa.
Titan. I mean, for centuries, we always thought, and millennia actually, people on Earth always thought that the sun supplied all of the energy necessary for life on Earth.
Sure.
That's not the case. Mm. Geothermal vents underneath the ocean where the pressure, sunlight never gets.
Right.
We've gone down there, we found all kinds of life down there, and they get their energy from the thermal vents and the chimney stacks, as they call them, that these vents are up through.
Right.
And that's enough to start life at that point.
It's not proof of anything.
Why couldn't that happen on the moons of Europa or whatever? The
right. It's an interesting thing. So, mm-hmm. like, when I came from that, like, I only, like, say, 2 weeks deep into this. But for the most part, it doesn't prove anything. Or it's not conclusive proof of anything. But it's an interesting piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that hasn't really quite fit anything that I've, you know, really considered for a while. So it's an interesting thing, and it's good to have the freedom to take that piece and be like, what can we do with it?
Right.
Rather than saying, oh, it doesn't fit my already established belief system. I'm throwing it out the window.
And what's really sad is that there's so many relief systems out there that will not allow you, don't allow you to go on the internet, read certain publications, science publications, or even news publications. They limit the amount of information that you can receive from the world.
Sure.
Just to be able to maintain the religion that they're supporting.
Why don't you show me some examples? I can think of one.
An example?
Yeah.
Jehovah's Witness, I would think.
Well, so my mom's a Jehovah's
Witness. The Watchtower is a very...
Yeah. The thing about Jehovah's Witnesses, they have access to the internet. They can watch anything they want to.
Who does?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, what am I thinking of then?
Maybe the Amish.
That's for sure. Let me crank this up here. I thought it was Jehovah's Witness. But anyway, even Mormons don't allow you to get certain news sources. Watch certain programs.
They may shun something socially. Yeah, I think.
Well, they shun the people who watch them anyway.
Sure, yeah.
And try to get them back into conformat.
It's actually an interesting point that you brought that up. So I was browsing through some of the meetup groups on meetup.com. We have actually a really great meetup group already with Atheist Society of Knoxville. We mm-hmm. meet at Barley's
yeah.
Tap Room, 5 o'clock every Tuesday, right after our show on the YouTube. Come down, see us. I was looking at some other meetups that were around there at that time, and I found one that was for a Christian organization. I don't need to name their name or say their name, but I was looking at the questions that you have to answer before you join a meetup, because there's generally a questionnaire that follows up. And what's interesting is they were asking essentially, what would you say to an evolutionary biologist?
Uh-huh.
Because from their initial page, they're pretty prominently, you know, pro not biology or pro not science.
Procreation.
Yeah.
I got it.
I'm trying to use the euphemism that's appropriate right here.
Procreation.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Right. So I wanted to see what, you know, maybe I could talk to like maybe the one of the leaders and just say like, hey, if you want to have I'm actually a biochemist. I think all biologists are evolutionary biologists. You need to know evolution to be considered a biologist these days. So it's kind of a misnomer. But if you want to have a talk, have a lunch, it might help you be more accurate with at least, you know, how to respond, even if you want to use it to bolster your face. I'm willing to have a lunch with you and we can talk it over. What was just interesting is that, you know, a lot of the questions just seem to be based on willful ignorance, or at least
on what?
Willful ignorance.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or very carefully crafted. I never really had the opportunity to read this, but mm-hmm. I listened to people who told me what I wanted to believe, mm-hmm. who said that right. what science said said this.
Yeah, for some reason I was thinking that Christian Science is like that, where they stringently restrict the amount of information that people get. However, mm-hmm. if you're out there and you're listening and you used to or still believe, I mean, still belong to a religion that strictly regiments what you can access on the internet, what you can join, what you can read, the publications, call us at 333-5937. We still have about 10 minutes in the show. Happy to talk to you.
Another thing, we talked a lot about Muslims today. I wanted to at least get to the point of that. But it was the idea was that you have these Muslims who have different times that they're going to fast, who came to a decision on their own. One third of them said, we'll follow Mecca time. The other side said, we'll follow Turkey. And another one just said, we'll make up our own.
Yeah.
And what they all generally agreed was that it doesn't really matter what you choose, as long as you believe it and you have the good intentions behind it. And as long as you have that, it doesn't really matter what stringent rule you follow, whether it's, you know, you fast every 12 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours, etc.
Well, I'm not sure that I agree with that. Because,
okay.
You can't just say it only affects them.
Okay.
I mean, believers have children.
Yes.
And they infect them with their religious beams.
If they're secular. Like, you can instill secular values into
secular
a kid as well.
Doesn't have, an omniscient reader of your thoughts.
By definition, sure, but there could be really bad secular things you could teach a kid.
None of that's good. I'm not saying that that's good.
I'm just
saying, before you teach your kids stuff, test it.
Yeah.
find out if it's true or not. Find out if there's any logical reason to believe.
Sure.
I'm always saying, examine your beliefs. You know, take them apart. Look at them.
Okay.
Before you try to pass them on to the next generation.
So then I was asking, is actually kind of similar. So if you want to question your belief, but what ultimately matters, at least based on those 700 Muslims that are near the North Pole, if they ultimately just are doing what they believe is good, then does the fasting actually matter if they could just be good or have good intention in every other capacity? Because if you could do it at any time...
It's kind of like a victimless crime, if you ask me, except the victim is them.
They're paying
for their own crimes.
it doesn't bother you at all?
It sure bothers me. You're jeopardizing your health for dogma from...
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
Validated.
A victimless crime.
And when you try to validate it, you always seem to come up empty.
Mm. A victimless crime. Except an upset stomach, maybe, I guess.
Oh, well, you know, it depends on if you're getting the right nutrients during the nighttime when you're eating, I guess.
If somebody
wanted to do that all the time, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do it a particular month or whatever. It's their right.
That's true.
With the exception of, I don't think they make their children do that either. I mean, at the same time, do they? They do?
Yeah.
Then I have a problem with it.
Mm.
I mean, childhood nutrition is a big enough problem without telling them they can't eat it all during the day.
Well, it's not like, I don't think babies are forced not to eat. I think babies need
still.
To eat still.
Okay.
But like
here,
at a certain point.
Yeah.
Like when you,
but again, it's just my opinion.
Sure, yeah. But again, I guess do they have the right to? Yeah, of course they have the right to practice that they want. But again, if you're doing, I guess this kind of goes to what was the late Mango Margo? Cool.
Yeah.
Our caller. If you do what you believe is good and right, and that's generally more important than doing something that you think is obedient to what your particular dogma is or what your particular label is. And then at that point, the label isn't really as important as it is just doing good things. I guess that's where I'm going to say.
You can't hear me nodding, but I'm nodding.
You can't hear me nodding.
Usually you hear
it. It sounds like screws rattling. And
yeah.
But yeah.
And so we have like 5 minutes left if you'd like to call in and talk to us about any of this. 333-5937.
Cool.
And the phone lines are open.
4th of July weekend.
Yep.
What do you got?
I had a cookout with the family, but they live in another city.
Okay.
And it conflicted with the radio show, so I would have had to spend an hour and a half on the road up there and back and then try to get here in time to do the show. And I would have only been able to spend half an hour there if I'd gone maybe an hour. So it didn't work out for me. We had hamburgers at home yesterday.
Hey, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Grilling out.
They have a fireworks session at the World's Fair Park tomorrow. Going to check that out. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
Also, got a lot of work done today and had a pretty cool guitar session yesterday.
Very
it was
real
fun.
I forgot. Bring a guitar and play for it.
You asked for it.
I'll bring mine in, too.
Oh, cool.
What were we saying about... No, I forgot. Guitar threw it right out of my mind. Anyway,
next week.
Are you thinking about doing next week?
So next week, we're going to have my friend Rob hopefully call in. He, like the Duke from last week, also has a very interesting perspective on like how the universe works, how we came about, and I think it'll be a really interesting talk. I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds real good. What I was going to mention was, the Rationalists of East Tennessee, we already played that information. If you are interested in the topics that we're discussing here, you can always go to my website. It's www.digitalfreethought.com. Say that three times. And I do have a blog there. You could read articles on all of the, or many of the things that we discuss online here. Getting back to labels, where we started out the show, I'm very tied to the atheist label. As a matter of fact, I started the Atheist Society of Knoxville back in 2002 because I was a member of the Rationalists. I'm still a member of the Rationalists, but they have members who they didn't want to use the A word.
Mm.
So
you see that,
and I'm not going to shy away from using a perfectly good, perfectly descriptive word that describes the concept of not believing in a God, simply to appease the people who have put all the baggage on it in the first place. So, I'm an atheist.
Okay.
Friendly neighborhood atheist. And we meet, at least the Knoxville atheists, meet at Barley Staff Room and Pizzeria every Tuesday around 5:30 for pizza, beer, dinner, and camaraderie and conversation.
And they're all atheists too, at least a good majority of them.
Yeah, I think the rationalists have people who still believe in God. They're deists, maybe.
Oh, okay.
But they consider themselves living by rationality rather than religion. So they fully qualify as a rationalist. Follow the guidebook for an outdoor.